Hello, dear listeners. This is Basement Gaming episode 68. My name is Herb, and I'm joined by my dear cousin Brigham.
Yo, that's me.
This episode, Brigham and I give an update on recent releases and what we've been playing for the last 2 weeks. If you enjoy the show, please give us a follow on Twitter at BasementGamingEye and on your podcast listening app of choice. With formalities out of the way, welcome to Basement Gaming. What's up?
Yo, long time no see. Or talk.
Yeah. It's just been a combination of just busy life, and we just want to play games as much as we can before we talk about them. But yeah.
Very true. Yeah, you know, and they're also, you know, pandemic coming to an end. People are going back into the office. I know you've been going to the office, Herb, but I have just started going back to the office again. So that's been making planning the time for us to record a bit more complicated. So
is it triggering for some people, do you think, to say that the pandemic's coming to an end?
Oh, yeah. I feel like anytime anybody says that, they're like, we're still right in the middle. I know people are still sick and people are dying. So I guess I'm just saying it relatively.
Relatively speaking, yeah. Relatively speaking, especially in Texas, there is no pandemic here. Yeah. There is like absolutely no mandates. It's like sometimes you'll go somewhere and then they'll like strongly recommend or they'll ask you to put it on, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, but at the same time, as soon as you go inside, people are just starting to take it off. The last place I went where it was like super serious, I went to this like orchestra show maybe close to a month ago. And yeah, everyone was wearing their masks the whole time while we were inside. They were even offering COVID, rapid COVID tests, like right there.
Where is this at?
This was in Dallas. I went to like an orchestra show.
Oh. Right?
Yeah. And they were like, you needed to show a proof of vaccination to get entrance. But if you didn't have that, you could get a COVID test like right then and there.
Oh, wow. That's nice of them to do, at least.
It was kind of crazy. Like, man, this is the most COVID protocol I've had to go through for anything in the past six months in Dallas.
That's just a Tuesday in Seattle. Like, everywhere you go, you have to show your proof of vaccine. I just have that picture of my vaccine card favorited on my phone just because I've showed off all the time. Although just recently, I think they made a change where they don't have to, because it was mandated by the state or the city, one of the two, but it's no longer mandated anymore. And I'm pretty sure they're dropping the mask requirement statewide just in a couple weeks or next week. So yeah, it definitely feels like things are starting to return back to normal, and it's kind of weird, but I am hopeful that this time we were saying the same thing last year, you know, and Omicron and Delta came, it kind of didn't really happen. So we'll see what happens, but yeah. Welcome to the COVID podcast, by the way, everybody.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to never have to talk about COVID ever again.
This podcast started partially because of COVID.
Because of COVID, yeah, that's true. Pros and cons, man. Pros and cons, I guess. Yeah. All right. Well, in these 2 weeks, we've just been playing games. I've been playing Horizon Zero Dawn as much as I can, really. Like, if I'm not playing that, maybe I'm playing League of Legends for like an hour or two. But if I have time to game, I've been gaming. It's so much so that some of my friends are like, hey, you want to come over for like a board game night? I'm like, board games? I'll be gaming.
Yeah, but board games. What is this, 1832? Come on. Man, board games? I'm not playing Chicken Beef, Grandpa.
Electricity. I'm going to be playing video games. But no. But yeah. So I have put in quite a bit of time. I've put in a total of 38 hours into Horizon Zero Dawn. And the game progression is saying I'm at 35%. So I've done nothing. So it's been it's been a blast. That's what I've been doing. That's a quick update on me. We'll go into that a little bit more, but how about you? What you been doing?
You know, not a whole bunch. I think you've probably been gaming more than me in terms of newer games, although I guess I have been playing newer content because I have been playing the World of Warcraft 9.2 expansion that just came out. Super excited. New raid, new zone. It's one of those things where it's like nothing here is going to entice people who have been burned out on the game to come back. But people like me who enjoy the game just want more of the game to play. It's definitely been worth it. And I've been super excited to get back into raiding with my guild and stuff like that. But besides that, I mean, that's really it. That and Lost Ark. I know that you've kind of fell off, and we may talk about that a bit later, but I still have been enjoying Lost Ark. I don't play it near as much as I used to, but whenever I try to find time, my goal is to get a level every time I log into the game. And I figure at that slow, steady progression, I'll be able to get to 50, you know, in the next month or so. So we'll see. But yeah, Lost Ark and World of Warcraft. So as usual, I am just playing MMOs.
Huge MMO guy, this one. Huge.
Yeah.
It's funny that WoW released a new patch in February also. This month has just been wild.
Insane. Like,
wild month of gaming between Lost Ark, freaking Elden Ring, freaking Horizon, and even the WoW update. Just big changes in the gaming scape in 1 month. Yeah, Lost Ark, I kind of fell off, like you said. I don't think there's nothing about the game itself that made me fall off. It was just I had other stuff I wanted to play, and it's not really going anywhere. It doesn't really change that much from month to month. So just like, I'll get back to it when I get back to it. But yeah, the big thing with me is, I mean, it's Horizon. I guess I'll give my first impressions is, I mean, it's just as great as I thought it would be. It's been fantastic. It's been a lot of fun. It's not the perfect game, obviously. I didn't think the first one was a perfect game for me, but it's been a blast. I mean, what do you think about what you've seen in terms of like the reception for the game? And is there any I know you haven't played it yet because you're still waiting on the PS5 to come in, which is big news.
Oh,
big,
yeah.
Podcast news.
Yeah, just little bit of big news. I got a PS5. I just decided one day I was going to get it. Luckily, I saw that Walmart was doing a drop the next day, and I got lucky and was able to get one from Walmart. So I am very lucky to have gotten that. Unfortunately, it was attempted a delivery yesterday, but I wasn't here, so I still don't have it yet, but hopefully it comes soon. But yeah, I haven't played it yet. I plan on playing it soon. From what I've seen, it's kind of interesting. I feel like at first I saw only good reviews, and then I saw some like kind of like mixed reviews. I think overall it's been like above average. But the unfortunate thing, which we kind of alluded to earlier, is that there are just so many games in February that I feel like Horizon Zero Dawn has just kind of fell off the radar. Like once Elden Ring came out, everyone talked about Elden Ring, and I haven't really heard much buzz around Horizon Zero Dawn or Forbidden West, which is kind of a bummer. I'm still super excited to play it, and I still much rather play Horizon than Elden Ring, but it does seem like this game, like the Metacritic score is the exact same as the first one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's interesting. But from what I've heard, it seems like it's an overall improvement of the first one. I think you can probably speak more to that, but it seems like it's an improvement.
Well, it is kind of hard to fly in the shadow of Elden Ring because Elden Ring is the quintessential internet game. Like everyone, the internet just loves this game. You know what I'm saying? Because
yeah,
especially the gaming community, the vocal gaming community is filled with super hardcore gamers that just like are giant purists when it comes to gameplay and gaming in general. So Elden Ring is just, Elden Ring and the Souls franchise is just a perfect thing for the vocal community, I guess. There are definitely people out there that are saying, you know, typical game is too hard kind of thing. That's why it's bad. But I mean, which is not how I feel about it. I don't think the game is bad by any means. I've always just said it's just not for me. Anyway, in terms of Horizon, my thoughts are, yes, it is overall a giant improvement. In terms of it being better, it's like they found the easiest reason to come back to it, essentially, in terms of story. It's like, oh, you know that thing we did in the last one to make the story end? Well, it didn't work, so we got to do it again. That's essentially the plot, you know? And obviously, within the story, there's other characters, there's other monsters, there's obstacles, obviously. In terms of the graphics, I mean, we've all seen the pictures on the internet. This game looks amazing. The graphics is much better. The character models are way better, especially besides Aloy. Like, Aloy in the first one was generally like an 8 out of 10 in terms of like how good she looked at all times. But everyone else was just essentially just dolls sitting in one place and then their mouth moves.
Yeah,
so I remember that. In this one, there's actual motion capture. People moving. The cutscenes are a lot better. It's a lot more dynamic. The graphics on the faces is a lot better. So visually speaking and like kinetically speaking, the game is much, much better. In terms of gameplay, I would say the gameplay is largely the same. Biggest difference is really is just more weapons. It's just more tools, more things for you to do to kill stuff, which is fine. I mean, I wasn't expecting to, this is exactly what I was expecting, honestly. Whenever I saw all the trailers and all the teasers and the gameplay footage, it's like, okay, it looks like more of the same but better. Like, you can, there's like more swimming and stuff, and there's more tools, there's more areas to explore, newer monsters. Honestly, the newer monster stuff is just like, okay, a new annoying thing for me to kill. It was like, I'm not crazy into that, but yeah, I'd say overall the game is about the same as the first one in terms of like experiencing the gameplay of it.
How's the story compared to the first one?
It's very similar.
Oh, really?
It's very similar.
Does it delve more into like the old world, you know, like the things that happened before?
It does. Like, yeah, I said, okay. It's similar, but more. And okay. It's very hard to explain. The whole game is like similar, but more, you know?
Yeah.
There's definitely some couple of unexpected things happening in the story that I didn't see coming, that I didn't think was a thing. So I was like, oh, this is cool. So there are definitely aspects of it that are interesting, but my mind isn't blown, you know? I'm not like freaking, this isn't like Last of Us level of writing, you know? It's just very good, solid game writing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
Yeah, that's good. That's interesting. I think, yeah, I just, like I said before, I feel bad that the hype around it seemed to have died once Elden Ring came out. I don't know if you remember this, but whenever the first Horizon game came out, the same thing happened with Horizon Zero Dawn and Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Oh, yeah.
Breath of the Wild came out like a week after Horizon, and then everybody just forgot about Horizon.
Yeah, yet another quintessential gaming IP right there.
Yeah.
It just keeps getting overshadowed by these crazy big IPs, you know?
I know, right?
Which is interesting, because there's a little bit of parallel in the way Horizon is and Elden Ring in terms of just the world. Like, it's just a big world that you can just run around in and do whatever you want kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's weird. I've been watching a lot of Elden Ring streams, and I'm just seeing people go around and killing stuff and gathering gear and killing bosses and stuff like that. It's like, I mean, I can do a lot of this in Horizon too. It's almost the same thing. I'm just going to run around the world doing side quests and killing monsters and gathering gear and leveling up. So I'm enjoying the Horizon gameplay a thousand times more. I mean, that's...
Yeah. I think Zelda's overrated. I think that Horizon's better. I honestly think that Immortal Phoenix Rising, way better game than Zelda, but... I guess it's
very similar too. Yeah,
it's similar. Yeah, I think it just does everything Zelda did, but removed breakable weapons, which are objectively bad. So
your weapon can break in Zelda. That's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. Your weapon has a durability, and after it's used up, the weapon just turns into dust. And you got to go find a new weapon.
World of Warcraft, where you got to go to repair your weapon?
But you can't repair gear. It just breaks. You just got to have like 10 swords in your inventory.
That's really dumb. That's just forced gameplay. Like, whenever a game finds a way to force you to play the game more, not make you want to play the game more, that's just lazy. It's just lazy. You're just forcing me to go farm these things. Okay, I don't know how this turned into an anti-Breath of the Wild.
I don't know. I was going to bring up real quick, though, Elden Ring. So you talked a bit about Elden Ring. And so speaking about Horizon Zero Dawn, it just dawned on me, like what I did there, that that you're talking about Elden Ring and how it's difficult and people say it's too difficult. I have been hearing some people saying that people are being ableist for saying that the game should have easier options for people who have disabilities and stuff like that. Like, it's not just about people who want to get through the game more easily. It's about people who legitimately can't get through the game at this level, whether it's because of a severe disability or, you know, maybe just because they're older, so they can't play the controller as fast, don't have the, as good of hand-eye coordination, or, you know, partially blind. This, multiple reasons they would want to have more accessibility options. Do you think that it's okay for a game like Elden Ring to have accessibility options? Or is that like, or is it okay that it doesn't, because it's, at the end of the day, it's an art and the artist should be in control of like what they, I don't know. It's hard. Yeah.
It's hard because if you're bringing the fact of actual disabilities, then it's like, such a weird gray area, because it's This conversation kind of stems from, at first people were saying it needs to be easier just because I can't beat it. Like, it's too hard for me, right? They're saying I need an easy mode because I can't beat this boss, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm completely against that, because I think the game is made to be exactly the way it's made. And that's like the experience that they're trying to like put, not push upon, to make you experience, essentially. Like, the game wants it to be hard. They designed it to be hard because they want you, it's like a tactical game, you know? You have to like plan out how you want to beat these bosses, and then if you make mistakes, you get punished hard. It's a very punishable game. So I think removing that aspect, you're literally removing the biggest thing that makes it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I saw an example online, of, like, somebody tweeted, I was like, an example would be, like, in a movie or a show that has, like, really complex themes or really complex plot or something, for them to, like, dumb it down for you because you don't understand it in the first shot. It's like, you're missing the point then. You're, like, the movie is supposed to be complex, supposed to be hard to understand, so much so that maybe you have to watch it more than once. But that doesn't mean that you have to like dumb it down because the audience isn't understanding it on the first shot. It's like, just because you can't beat the boss on the first shot doesn't mean you were supposed to. You know, you're not supposed to. Die to it. Learn the lesson, come back and beat it, you know? So that's that. But then people, you know, increase the situation into, okay, what if I have a specific disability that makes me not be able to play this? At that point, then I don't know. I can't really speak to that, because first of all, I've never really heard of that. This is the first time hearing of this. And second of all, I don't have a disability. Like, I can play the game just fine. So I don't really feel comfortable speaking for someone that would have a disability. That'd be interesting to actually see online, like what their arguments are and what the counter arguments are, because at first glance I'm like, maybe play a different game. But at the same time, I'm like, well, you wouldn't tell someone that can't hear to not watch a movie. You would just turn on the subtitles, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, how much do we want to cater to all different types of gamers, you know? Yeah. So it's like, it's a very gray area, because games are a interactive medium. So it's like, I don't know, how do we make this more interactive for you?
Yeah, no, it's really hard. I was trying to find the person who, this guy, he's kind of known for, he does reviews on games, but like from an accessibility standpoint. So he'll kind of give a review based on like how accessible a game is, like how many accessibility features it has. It's really interesting. I think it's really important because, you know, it's something that not a lot of critics look at, but this guy who's legally blind, it directly affects him. And so he gave an update on Elden Ring about how he said, here it is, I've sadly requested a refund of Elden Ring. The lack of accessibility for me to enjoy this game and the toxic Souls fanboys I've had to deal with this week alone, I've had enough. No game is worth that. And he continues on, but essentially, you know, I'm sure what happened is that he was asking for certain accessibility features for the game, like, and people said no, like, you can't, because adding accessibility would make the game easier and the game's not being about having an easy experience. And so, yeah, I don't know. I think it's kind of a hard rock and a hard place.
Yeah. I guess it also depends.
Yeah.
What accessibility options are we talking about here, though?
And it's true. I was thinking things like, you know, if you remember in Last of Us Part 2, they had things like you can make your character basically invisible. You can add like outlines to characters, to enemies. So, like, you know, colorblind features. you can add like no clip or I don't know. It's like almost like some of them are just like straight up just like cheats. It seems like, you know what I mean? Like the invisibility thing, like not having to run around in bushes. You can just like walk wherever and they won't see you. Like that would be like a straight up cheat code. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's...
But that was like in the accessibility options.
I think there's a difference between accessibility and straight up cheat codes. Like if we're asking them to put a colorblind mode and they don't want to do that, like that's weird. Like,
that's weird.
That's not gonna change. That's not gonna change the gameplay at all. You know. But are we saying I want to be able to not take damage? I
mean, or maybe it's the same things here? Like, you know, increase the time for what's it called? Deflecting hits. I forgot what that term is called exactly. Yeah.
Like lag time for parrying or whatever.
Yeah, like lag time parry for window. Parry. Yeah, exactly. Increase the parry window or you know, things like that.
I mean, that's a difficulty mode issue, though.
But that would also be an issue for people that, you know, pure people who have accessibility issues that wouldn't be able to do that. Because mm-hmm. I've never seen there's like this different controllers that people have for people who are one-handed or, you know, different things like that. So
interesting.
I feel like it's one of those things where it's like there should be like, you know, an accessibility controller. Like there is one for Xbox, there should be one for PlayStation. Yeah. And once you have that plugged in, bam, accessibility window pops up and you can just choose whatever toggles and settings you want. I think that's a good compromise.
Yeah, that would be a good compromise. That would be then people that aren't don't have disabilities, if they plug it in and then they get to cheat, it's like, well then everybody knows you're cheating, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, and also it's like if you have to go out of your way to pay $100 for a controller to use those cheat codes, like at the end of the day, it's a single player game and that's on you. Like, you know what I mean? Like you probably could have paid $100 to mod your Xbox to do those things anyway. So like, I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. See, that's a good compromise. I think having some sort of input, whenever you put the input in there and it's like, okay, this is an accessibility player. And then all these things, you have all these options you can move. But to make it the default in the game, I think takes away from it quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like some of the parry window, from what I've seen in the streams, the parrying window is terrible. Like it's really hard to hit a parry on a lot of the mobs in this game. So like changing that would significantly change the gaming experience of this game, which would be compromising the art, you know? So the game should just be the way it is. And if you can't beat it, just don't beat it. Just don't play it, man. Or just watch it. You can enjoy it. I don't know. I feel like I enjoy watching this game a lot. Actually, I think it's a really fun watch. It's really fun seeing people like craft a strategy to how to beat this situation after dying like 8 times and like kind of thinking through it in my head too. Like, oh, maybe if he does this and that, and then it's like an entertaining. It's like watching a freaking lion fight, like gladiators fighting lions. Like, maybe I don't want to fight the lion, but this is really cool to see you fight a lion. You know. But yeah, I have been slowly leaning towards trying it out after I play some more games that I want to play. But yeah, I just feel I've been talking down to these games in terms of it not being for me for too long. And I need to just like bite the bullet and actually give it a good, honest try.
Yeah. And I will play vicariously through you.
We have a friend, our good friend John is playing it, and I haven't heard him complain about it too much.
Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting.
I mean, besides that one time he told us about it, that it felt exactly like the old ones, he hasn't really said much. We'd have to ask him how he feels about it now that he's a month in, essentially, or I guess two weeks in.
Mm-hmm.
Or if he's just quit already.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I need to follow up with him on that.
So are you still at a 0% chance that you're going to play this game?
Oh, it's in fact, if there were negative percentages, that's where I would be at right now. So.
It's just no chance.
Yeah, no, absolutely zero. I mean, maybe if I had it for free, I would try it out for a little bit, but I'm not going to pay money for it because then I would definitely feel bamboozled because I know I would hate it after 10 minutes. And then I'd be like, I spent $60 for 10 minutes of time that I hated. So,
yeah, that's another thing, too. I don't know how long it would take for it to go on sale. This might be one of them, like, I could wait like a year for it to go on sale. Like I'm in no rush. I'm in no rush to play this game.
I'm just gonna hope that it comes to Game Pass at some point. Until then, I will not be playing it. Yeah. which, by the way, freaking Guardians of the Galaxy is coming out on Games Pass. I feel like I should have just waited to play it on Game Pass, but at the same time, I'm glad I bought it because that game is awesome and they need my support. Apparently, that game undersold what they expected.
That sucks. That was a great game.
Yeah, it was a great game. I'm so bummed about that. I hope they make a sequel, but who knows now.
I don't know if I need another one.
Oh, come on. At least another game in the Marvel Universe. Like, it doesn't have to be Guardians of the Galaxy, but maybe, like, you know, another superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Same writing team, please. That just, the story was so good.
Yeah. It's so hard to make superhero games, man. It's just so hard.
What if they made a Superman game?
That would suck. They've existed. I've played them. They're not great. They're awful.
Not great yet.
Yeah, I don't know. You're just too strong. It becomes a freaking destruction porn game. You're just flying around, breaking stuff, fighting. A lot of times the fighting isn't very dynamic because it's like, you take damage, but. Wait, what's that Superman game that was on Xbox? What is it called? Is it just called Superman Return? I'm going to look this up real quick.
There's a Superman game on the Xbox. I never heard of that. I don't know. I think if you just made a Superman game where, like, he had, like, a pocket full of kryptonite or something, so he's just, like, strong but not super strong. Maybe he was, like, fighting on, not on Earth, but, like, on a planet with, like, a bunch of other superhero Superman people.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a Superman Returns game on Xbox 360. It exists. You can look it up. I'm looking at the gameplay right now on freaking YouTube.
Oh, well, that game is based off of a freaking movie, though, isn't it?
Yeah. There's really... What do you mean? It's a Superman game.
Yeah, but it's a Superman. It's a movie licensed game.
Let's see. I think it was a. Yeah, the last one was in 2006. Yeah, and you're just going around and picking up stuff and throwing it. And... Yeah, not great. Very boring. I played did you ever play that Iron Man game? Remember that?
No, I never did play an Iron Man game. Anthem, is that you're talking about?
Yeah.
Play that game.
Close. Anthem, yeah. Freaking Iron Man game. Very similar. You're just too strong. You're just, nothing feels like you're doing anything. Mm. But I don't think it's possible to make a Superman game.
I don't know if you remember this, but they were going to make a Marvel MMO. It was going to be exclusive to Windows. What is it called? Gaming on Windows. Gaming for Windows. Like that short-lived Windows gaming UI that GTA 4 launched on PC. And they're going to have a Marvel MMO. It never came out, but...
You just know I remember. All of the MMO things. I've never heard of this in my life.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm...
Another game I want to play called Shifu. Freaking S-I-F-U, Shifu. The freaking martial arts game that came out a while ago. It's like,
yeah,
I think it's Chinese for sensei or teacher. Yeah. Or master, something like that. It came out a while ago. Let me see, when did this come out? And it's also by a small indie company called Slow Clap. S-L-O, clap. And it's on the Unreal 4 engine, single-player martial arts game. And it's literally just a kung fu simulator. It's 10 hours, very, very short game.
Yeah.
And everything in gameplay I've seen from it looks super fun. It also is pretty up there in difficulty. And like I feel like the further you go in the game, it gets exponentially harder. So, yeah. So I'm excited. I want to play this. I'll probably play it after Horizon. And
I've heard really good things about that game. I don't know. I've heard it's also very difficult. So it's another one of those games where I'm like, maybe I'll wait till it's cheap or something because I don't want to waste money on it. But
it's 10 hours. It's $39 for 10 hours. Remember, I spent $40 for a golf round today and I freaking sucked at it. So it's like, you know, live a little.
You know, have I told you this? This is how I calculate how much a game is worth. A game needs to be $1 per hour, okay? So if I pay $60 for a game, I need to get 60 hours worth of gameplay.
When is that ever? Like, that happens very rarely. What are you talking about?
Well, that's about? Why I never buy games for $60.
Did you spend 60 hours on Guardians of the Galaxy, the game that you love?
No, I bought that. Okay, you know what? You're right. That's what's changing my mind a little bit, because I bought that game against my better judgment, because I was like, you know what? This game is $60 and it's not following my rule, but I just want to play it super bad. And I enjoyed it, and I had a great time. And dare I say it, it may have been worth the $60, but is that the exception? That's the thing I haven't figured out yet.
That is such a crazy rule. And it actually makes a lot of sense now that I think about all your gaming history. you rarely pay $60 for a game. But that's also because most games don't take 60 hours to beat.
See, I will play Cyberpunk. I will pay $40 for that game. Maybe even 60, because that game is a really big game, and I'll definitely put 40 hours, if not more, into that game. Like Uncharted 4, I paid $5, and that's exactly how much it was worth. I put about 5 hours in that game.
Oof.
Beat it.
Freaking Uncharted catching strays right now.
It's a great game. It's a great 5 hour experience.
I played Cyberpunk for 71 hours.
So. Well, thing too, I wouldn't mind paying $70 for a game if I felt like it was deserved.
Man, I wish that freaking... Oh, there's a new patch from Cyberpunk. Coming to you live on the podcast. Patch 1.5 came out in February 15. What's in it? Improvements, numerous quests and gameplay fixes, as well as bug fixes.
Didn't they add... They added some extra, like, oh, not quests, but yeah. It was like you can buy a new apartment.
Oh, yeah, you can rent an apartment. Some interaction apartment, temporary buffs in the apartment, appearance customization. I want new quests. I want new content, like full on content. But I don't know if we're gonna like a DLC. I'd love a Cyberpunk DLC. Anyway,
yeah, that'd be cool.
But yeah, that's all I got. That's what we've been doing.
Same.
Elden Ring is taking over the world. And Horizon is the modest second fiddle right now.
Yep. And then after Elden Ring, we'll just be in the God of War waiting room.
Waiting room, yeah. See, that's the thing. This is why I'm not in a hurry. Like, it's probably going to take me another 20 hours, 30 hours to be satisfied with Horizon. I really want to do everything. I want to do all the side quests and get all the location. There's like a lot of question mark locations with like collectibles in them.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do all that. I don't think I'll platinum it, because there's one collectible. They're like these data points that you can scan that are just like out in the world, and a lot of them are in like really, really obscure random places, and I don't think I'm going to be chasing those down. Like, I'd have to go through a guide and it would take me ages.
Yeah.
And if that's one of the achievements, then yeah, I'm not going to platinum the game, but I'll probably get pretty close to platinuming this game. So that'll take me a while. And then I'll probably play Shifu. That's 10 hours. And then perhaps I'll jump into Elden Ring, which is probably another... If I actually enjoy it, it'll probably be another 60 plus hours. So
you should stream Elden Ring. That would be great.
I'll stream it on Discord to my friends if you want to hop in. Because they've been saying they want to see me play Elden Ring or a Souls game forever. They're like, they just take my temperament. My temperament would be great entertainment for them. Just seeing me rage at dying into a boss for the 15th time. But yeah, we'll see. Yeah. All right. I think that's all we got. Lots of gaming news. Sorry for the delay, but I was hoping I'd beat Horizon before we recorded, but then you told me you're getting a PS5, so I'm like, well, we'll just wait till you also beat it. Then we could do like a little spoiler cast. We should do a spoiler cast. It's a big game.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Do a little spoiler cast. And hopefully next episode we'll have an Elden Ring episode. We're thinking about bringing on a guest that's going to explain to us why Elden Ring is probably the game of the year. I think we both said Elden Ring is probably going to be the game of the year, even though we're both like not high on it. On a little preview episode, right?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think that God of War and... what's the Bethesda game coming out?
Starfield.
Yeah. They have potential. They could have potential to be game of the year.
Yeah, I think God of War in particular will give it a run for its money because it has a story. All right. Yeah, if you enjoy the show, I mean, give us a follow on your podcast listening app of choice and follow the conversation on each episode and updates on each episode on Twitter at BasementGaming9. Please feel free to share the show with your gamer friends. That being said, thank you for listening. See y'all next time.
Peace.